The following episode of Freakazoid is dedicated to anyone who's ever fallen in love.
Who disrupts my coronation?
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it!
These babies just saved this lame fest party!
Listening to Twig, the flagship of stupidity, only on thisweekingeek.net. I am one of your two hosts this week. I am Mike the Birdman Dodd. I am joined with
the other guy, Mr. Christopher.
Holy shit, welcome back.
I am back. Life happens, it gets in the way sometimes, and you can't do the things you want to do every week, but
you've
I get to do it this
vacation,
week.
You've had a vacation, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, I went on vacation for my regular job, but I had to go back. And
you
that made me sad.
You took vacation for the fucking nerdiest thing I have ever heard of. I've heard of people taking days off work for a video game. No, you took a fucking week off.
Yep, Battle for Azeroth for World of Warcraft came out on the 13th, and I scheduled my vacation months in advance just to make sure I had a full week to play it. Historically, it's a bad idea to take the week off for the day off of a release because of server crashes and other issues and day one patches and this not being able to actually play. But Blizzard has gotten really good at making launches work well, and this was no exception. There were little problems, but I got to play no problem.
Now, I did something like this when I went to college, so a million years ago, back in the year 2007, let's throw things back to. So Halo 3 launched in September of that year, I want to say. September, maybe very early October. Anyway, so I go to the Halo 3 launch. I'm covering it with my friends Pierce and Steve and Adam. We're having a great time. We're playing the game. We got our copies. We get to go home, play them. I have class the next day. I call into my professor. Yeah, Mr. Tufts, I can't come in the radio lab today. Why? I'm sick. Mike, was that you I heard on CBC radio this morning bragging you were going to take the day off of class? I'll be in 20 minutes. He caught me because I was a fucking moron and went on CBC radio and bragged about it. But yeah, so can't blame you. I would have taken the day off for something like that. I'm trying to think of a video game franchise that would cause me to take a lot of time off. This year, for example, Fallout, when Fallout 76, when Vault 76 comes out later on this year, I'm telling you this now, so you have months to prepare. You and Alex are taking the show that week, because I really want to get through that game quick and get to the end game. Speaking of video games, Gamescom happened this past week, and we're going to talk a little bit about it on the prototype, but we're going to wrap a little bit about it now. This is one of the quietest Gamescoms I can think of in quite some time.
Usually you find a lot of game announcements and big trailers and reveals and, oh my god, there's something crazy coming out of Gamescom. But really it felt like there was just information about stuff we already knew this year.
It was like E3 Plus.
Yeah, just here's the second part of E3. All of our reveals were earlier. Now here's a bit more of the filler information, a bit more meat to add to the bones of what you already know.
Yeah.
And I'm overall okay with that, but yeah, it was less exciting than it usually is.
I'm just glad I didn't have to get up and watch the press conferences at stupid o'clock for this.
Yeah, E3 was a nightmare for that. I was staying up way too late watching conferences on my phone while lying in bed trying to sleep, but not really.
One of the worst ones was, because I didn't know when it started, was the Devolver Digital one, and I love the stuff that they do, but ugh. For Gamescom this year, they confirmed a release date for the new Devil May Cry. I think they confirmed a release date and a special edition for that.
Sekiro Shadows Die Twice from Software.
So that comes out. They also commented on whether there'll be another Dark Souls game. Pretty much no.
Yeah, they've always held that, though. After number three, they said they were done with Dark Souls. They were going to move on to other properties. Obviously, they've learned a lot of lessons from their Dark Souls and Bloodborne series, but they said that they're not going to do any more Dark Souls as Dark Souls. They could feel the influence, but this is definitely a different game. I saw the gameplay, and it looks complicated but exciting.
Yeah, this one kind of has me interested because of the whole Japanese aesthetic to it. So I'm interested. We'll have to wait and see. There's rumors of a new Xbox, service they're talking about, where they might bundle a console, Game Pass, and Xbox Live in a 2-year plan. So that's all that's kind of leaked out about that. I'm surprised they didn't add more backwards compatibility titles into it. Like, there wasn't, a huge announcement for that. I didn't see anything interesting out of Sony. There's been some more trailers released for, Spider-Man. Actually, someone remixed it to the 90s Spider-Man animated series theme, which looks really cool. Spider-Man, week after next. Hopefully, we'll get that for review. Otherwise, I'm just going to outright buy that sucker. It looks awesome.
It's come such a long way since the old PS2 games, and oh, it's beautiful.
I will openly say, guilty pleasure game of mine is The Amazing Spider-Man 2 on the PlayStation 4. The movie, obviously, dog shit. But the game, I think it actually was a really decent Spider-Man game. And you actually got to investigate crimes that led to carnage. Like, there were all these murders around the city, and you had to find them. That's one of the games I've come closest to platinum. And I've only platinumed, 5 games in my entire life. So, that was fun. We saw some new Resident Evil 2 gameplay, which looks really, really, really sweet. That comes out in January of next year. For some reason, this game has a $900 special edition.
My God.
With a keyboard. Okay, it's cool. It looks like the Raccoon Police Department typewriter. But it's a fucking keyboard. It's not even mechanical that I'm aware of. Not worth it, bite my ass, but I'm a sucker for collector's editions.
Collector's editions are getting so absurd. With the physical, they're cool ideas, but the price tags on them, I don't get it.
For example, this year, I've pre-ordered one special edition because I know I'm not going to get it from the company. I pre-ordered Fallout Vault 76. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. Because I wanted the helmet for the Brotherhood of Steel, or the power armor helmet. Mm-hmm. That looks cool. It's usable. Someone's yelling at me, Mike, you don't need to spend the money. Fuck you, it looks cool. And I thought about getting Red Dead Redemption, but their Uber edition doesn't include the fucking game.
Yeah, that's a trend I don't like.
What the fuck? I mean, do you remember when Mass Effect Andromeda came out and people were like, cool, you get to drive whatever that stupid thing was called.
Buggy thing.
But no game.
Yeah, selling an edition, it's not really a collector's edition then, it's just a collector's package.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Because you're not buying an edition of the game, you're just buying stuff that's related to the game. And I feel like there's a betrayal of the consumer's expectations to not have the game in there. Yes, it'll be mentioned somewhere, probably in really tiny print, saying game not included.
Yeah, because another game that kind of did this, but you still got the game, but you didn't get a physical disc. Halo 5, when that came out, you got Locke and you got Master Chief bookend, which looked really awesome. But in really tiny print, game included digital download only. And people were pissed. So there was a campaign to write Microsoft. If you gave them your code unused, they send you a physical disc. So, okay, fair trade-off, but just put the fucking game in the package. But I guess then you have to redesign the packaging and all that crap.
Yeah, I don't think it would take that much, though. I mean, discs don't take up that much space.
I mean, if anything, put it in a flat, hard case. This way you don't have to spend money on a retail disc. Make it a steelbook or something and just make it tiny. I'm not liking this trend. I mean, and a lot of people are saying, but I want physical collector's goods or I want physical discs. It's funny. I want collector's editions, but I want digital games, which kind of is weird because then you don't own the game. You own a license to play said game, Like, mm-hmm. I like, because I have multiple Xbox Ones, I like the ability to transport my games and my services wherever I go. I like to be able to have my games on a hard drive. I'm not carrying around an armload of discs. Which is why, like, I've moved vastly away from physical games. I only do digital download. Plus, a lot of my PR companies, that's all they hand out are codes now.
It's a lot more affordable for the companies to distribute those things without the physical
edition. Well, yeah, because you're not paying shipping, you're not paying for the physical packaging.
Yeah, why should I send an envelope with a disc and pay for the postage when I can just send an email and have it done?
Yeah, although it's weird, the companies still have to pay for those codes. Because I found out that when a company generates a code, they still have to pay Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo for that. You're paying a licensing fee for that. Mm-hmm. It's really weird. I thought they could just generate a code and there it is, and you know, Merry freaking Christmas.
And this is why there's so many instances where a popular game comes out and people are downloading it digitally, and then somehow they run out of digital copies. Well, yes, they have, it's just data, but it's the licenses. They have to generate the licenses. Yeah. They don't just come out of thin air, randomly number generated. It's actually sold to these companies. That's where the disconnect is there. It's not just magic.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was our little chat on Gamescom. So coming up on the show this week, we're going to talk about some of the things that that interestingly happened in the world of geeks. Some pretty big news, all things considered, if you're on the television and film fronts this week. We also have the usual roundup of weird news. We won't have a review of a movie this week just because time ran out. But next week, I'm promising it here on the show, I will have my review of the new edition of Vampire the Masquerade, the tabletop role-playing game. I'm power reading through it now. I got sent a new PDF a couple weeks ago, and I just haven't had time to read through it. So completely ignoring the controversy surrounding it, I will just talk about the game mechanically and its meta plot. And yeah, so we'll talk about that. We also got a review of, what's the game you took a look at this week?
Toho Scarlet Curiosity on the PC, rather.
So we'll be talking about that, but the usual sort of weirdness and other things. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, only on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. Need a new weapon in your battle against evil? Check out LibrisArcana.com for Canada's premier RPG dice subscription service for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping. You can get a new complete set of role-playing dice from D4s to D20s delivered straight to your door. Dice themes are new each month and can be anything your mind can imagine and beyond. Visit LibrisArcana.com and subscribe for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping, and be prepared to open up new worlds of adventure.
News on the march!
Welcome back to Twig, here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. Libris Arcana, I can't wait to get our next group of dice.
Yes,
they are beautiful, they are amazing, and I am addicted already.
Yeah, Alex actually just got his most recent shipment of the Libris Arcana RPG book service. He got Vampire the Masquerade book he's actually going to give me, and it details the Inquisition, which is basically the medieval, well, it's the Inquisition. It's not a good thing. Nobody expects it. It didn't work out too well for a lot of Cainites way back in the day. And now in the new game, there's the Second Inquisition, which now the Vatican is now armed with assault rifles and sun, basically, UV grenades and shit like that. It's kind of interesting. But you'll hear about more about that next week. So, we're here to talk to you about the news that is, was, and forever shall be in the hearts and minds of you, the geek-consuming public, you podcast listeners. I actually have some rather good news this week. Oh my god, I'm overjoyed to bring you this. It's the tears, the salt. Oh god, it's so good. In a joint statement, Warner Brothers Television and Chuck Lorre Productions confirmed The Big Bang Theory will be ending in May 2019 after 12 seasons of agony and 279 episodes of pure shit.
The show everyone loves to hate, or hates to love.
You know what? It's funny. For the first couple seasons, I legitimately liked it. I thought it was okay, and some of the jokes were pretty funny. I thought it was a caricature of geek culture, but we were on TV. We were being accepted. It was neat. And then I saw an article. I can't remember where it was, or maybe it was a video series, but it said, The Big Bang Theory is nerd blackface. And I'm like, okay, what do you mean? And it was this huge essay about it. And I thought about it thinking, huh, you're not really on our side, are you, Chuck Lorre? You're not really on our side, Warner Brothers Television. And someone did video essay. I saw a series of video essays on it and explored the topic more deeply than I possibly could, drawing from philosophers and drawing from more contemporary philosophy, but also artists and media representation, all this shit. And I'm about to say, wow, this show is fucking vapid and not good for us as a culture. Because now, what's the term Alex uses? Minstrel show, but for geeks.
There's such an exaggeration of the stereotypes of nerd culture, and you see it in all the elements of the show. And it started off kind of funny, but all the characters have now been exaggerated or changed in a way where they're not what they originally set out to be.
Yeah.
Their depth is not really there. They have no personality other than their one main characteristic. Bernadette is now this controlling mother, but not really a great mother because she's always kind of tossing her kids to the side. You don't even really see her kids on screen, and that's more likely just a direction element. They just don't want to be involved with having children on screen. It's a complication issue, but it's forcing her character to be more annoying, less relatable, and Howard is under her thumb, and that's not enjoyable to watch. That's a dysfunctional relationship, and not in a comedy way. It's actually awkward. It makes me cringe to watch that relationship develop. The Amy and Sheldon relationship is dysfunctional in different ways, but you could also argue that they're functional for each other.
Yeah.
But they're both very unusual characters and very difficult to relate to. It's hard to find who this show is trying to talk to in a positive way. Yeah. Instead of trying to say that, hey, these people are nerdy and weird, look at them. It's a circus.
Yeah.
You're watching a circus of under nerd glass parodies.
Yeah. It's not something that I enjoy. Like, I for a long time enjoyed Wolowitz's character for a long time. Like, the guy who had the problems with his mom, then the mom died, and now he's married to Bernadette.
Yeah, he had some interesting plot points along his journey, but it feels like the end of his tale so far is really sad.
Yeah, like it didn't. He got an okay end. He got the C ending, if we were to put this into video game terms. And then you look at a character like Raj, who has not grown in seasons. Seasons. This character is a one note joke. And I don't like that.
He's always been a one note joke. The first few years, he can't talk to women, and it was an ongoing ha ha ha, yes, okay. Every time a woman comes in the room, he has to whisper into Howard's ear, or he just eep, shuts up. Ha ha, good for a few laughs at first, but it started to wear thin. They got rid of it, and now he's just an asshole.
Yeah.
It ruined his character. He was interesting enough, you know, poor Raj, but now he always has it coming, and you don't feel sorry for him anymore.
Yeah, and it's a show, I'm now of the firm belief a show should not go beyond, and this will be a contentious point, I think 5 seasons is the sweet spot. And the example I will use, and will immediately contradict itself when I say it, is Buffy the Vampire Slayer. At the end of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, spoilers guys, it's been almost 20 fucking years.
You've had your chance.
Buffy dies. And at the end...
Buffy dies like every other year.
But it says on her tombstone, Buffy Summers, she saved the world a lot. And that was one of the final shots of the series, is after she defeats Glory, that's it. She's done. The Slayer is done. She's done her job. And the Scooby Gang kind of moves on. And then it negotiated a deal, went to the CW, or UPN at that time. And the show, went to Fox, and it continued for another further 2 seasons, right? Because it's a cash cow, you want to keep
it running. Yeah, it was popular. Hey, these people, they're raking in money for the network. Let's cash in on this.
And it felt like it ended at a good point. Now, seasons 6 and 7, think of them what you will, were interesting and did have some good episodes in them. As I thought, the first was a wicked bad guy in season 7, whatever. But point of the matter is, the story came to an end there. Smallville, for example, season 5, I think, was one of the strongest seasons of that show. Jonathan Kent died. Superman has the potential to come out and save the world. The world's hit by something. And it's just 100 episodes. You should be able to tell your story in 100 episodes. One of my favorite sitcoms, The Goldbergs, they're coming up to season 6 now. They're going to be over 100 episodes now. And I wonder when the charm's going to wear out. And that's the thing. I'm friends with Adam Goldberg. And if he's got more stories to tell, great. But 100 episodes, that's a lot of story. I think in 100 episodes, you should be able to finish what you want to say.
Mm-hmm. Like Charmed, for example. Season 7, garbage.
Yeah.
Nobody likes it.
Yeah, it's shit.
I mean, I'm sure someone's out there. But by all means, feedback at thisweekingeek.net.
Yeah.
Let me know if you like Season 7 of Charmed, but I really don't think anyone did.
Trying to think of other shows that went beyond Season 6 and did okay. Okay, every season of The X-Files past Season 5 is hot garbage. Holy shit, that show sucks after that. After Mulder leaves? Hell, when your big stars leave, you know you've got a fucking problem. I don't know how Supernatural is still going on. It's like 12 seasons now?
I think it has just a fan base that just wants more. And so they're shoveling out more.
I know someone in the comments or someone on Twitter could mention this to us and will totally defeat the argument we've just been making. Doctor Who.
The thing with Doctor Who is it's a cycle.
Yeah, because they can change up the main character.
Because they've had so many different actors play the Doctor, and they've worked that directly into the whole point of the Doctor, that it works because it's basically a revival every time, literally and figuratively. Each time they change the main actor, so it becomes a new show with the same root concept.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it doesn't quite fit the same definition as these other shows that have 7, 8, 10-year runs that just have the same characters with the same progressing plot line, and it kind of gets convoluted, confusing, and maybe off point by the time they pass season 5.
I mean, people could argue that maybe Star Trek, for example, Star Trek DS9, the first couple seasons are rough, but it gets amazing from season 3 on.
But you could argue that that's their 5 seasons. First 2 were the problem. The last 5 or whatever else. And Star Trek is kind of like that, where there are a couple bad seasons, but there are usually 5 seasons that are just gold.
Yeah, because Star Trek, the Next Generation, TNG seasons 1 and 2, holy shit, there's some good episodes.
Yeah, there are some gems, but it's like digging for gems in poo.
Yeah, it's rough. It's very, very rough. So I'm kind of glad to see it, and I'm glad what it accomplished on some level for nerd culture, Big Bang Theory. But I just thought of another example that a show that went beyond 5 seasons and was really good, and it's staring me right in the face. Game of Thrones. Shit. But you know what? There's always going to be outliers. Always going to be outliers.
Yeah, there's always exceptions, and consider the absolute insane budget that's going into not just the casting and the actor salaries, but the direction, the costume design, that sort of thing. So the budget's there for every aspect of it, instead of just we're paying our main 4 or 5 actors millions of dollars an episode for them to churn out whatever comes to mind that week.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing too, with higher budget shows, you can go longer. Mm-hmm. But you have smaller episodes, like smaller runs.
Yeah.
Like Walking Dead is only like 13 episodes a season.
But it's still going to crap anyway.
Yeah.
With Game of Thrones, there is a very deliberate story direction that everything's happening and closing in on, because the story is already basically set in not quite stone, because George R. R. Martin just
doesn't know how it's gonna
pretty
end.
Much gave up.
Yeah.
He had a few ideas for the end, but now it's just, okay, you guys go ahead and just finish it. Here's what happens, the end. But the point is, there's an ending that they know they're going towards, and everything's kind of laid out for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't stray too far. They won't end up in a weird place where they don't know how to move the plot forward, because there's already a goal. So every episode moves toward that goal in a very deliberate manner. So this is why every single episode feels like it has a purpose. The plot moves everything forward in a nice way. The characters develop, because that's how it is in the books, to a point, and then they've diverged from the books for cinematic purposes and to make it its own thing. But it's always moving towards what they already know they're moving towards. Mm-hmm. They have that definition.
So, I don't know. I guess when the Big Bang Theory show officially ends next year, we will do a commentary about it. We'll watch the last episode, because it's supposed to be epic, because everybody uses that word.
They're
going
to go out with a bang. I thought that was a little clever.
Let's
I'll give them credit for that.
Let's see what they're going to do, because they've had a number of Star Trek guest stars on there. maybe it'll be Epic Guessers, maybe it'll be nothing but Cameo City. We'll wait and see.
They all die. There you go.
My God. That would be awesome.
Some sort of apocalypse happens and just boom, everybody's dead.
It leads right into The Walking Dead. The Big Bang Theory was a Walking Dead prequel the whole time.
I want it to be the whole dream thing. Someone wakes up and it was all just a dream, but it's Professor Proton.
So that is what happened with that. Moving on to another important story this week. This one you pulled.
Yes, this is actually pretty breaking. This was just announced as of yesterday from my point of view as I'm recording myself talking. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 has been pushed back indefinitely, and I use that in the term of they just don't know how long. Not canceled, it's just on hold because of all the controversy with James Gunn, of course, being fired, and then there being petitions, including from the actors within Guardians of the Galaxy, to reinstate him, and Disney saying flat out, no, that's not happening.
They held a courtesy meeting with him.
Yeah. From all this, it just doesn't seem to be moving forward right now, and they want to make sure they do it right, quote-unquote. And because of this, they're not making enough progress to continue the filming and the production, so they're just putting it on hold until they can figure everything out.
One of the things that I read about this story is cast and crew that were getting ready for pre-production in the fall were told they are free to pursue other work right now.
Yeah, so that's is the timeline that they're talking about. Is it's on hold probably for a while. So go do other stuff. Go film your other movies. Chris Pratt, go film another Jurassic World, whatever. That's a little concerning for me.
That's not to say we couldn't see Guardians characters in other movies, though.
Yeah, the problem I have right now is where we are in Infinity War. Big spoilers, but it's been a while, so you've had your chance.
And it's out on Blu-ray now.
They're pretty much all dead.
Yeah.
So there's not really
just rockets
anything to do with them right at this moment in the MCU. Everyone is pretty confident in saying that come Avengers 4, people are coming back.
Yeah.
Because there's no way they'd kill off that many people and not bring some of them back when they know that, you know, we have Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah.
We've got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 eventually now. Doctor Strange is supposed to have another thing.
Yep.
So there's everything still moving forward, but these characters are dead. So there's an obvious...
There's a way out if they need it.
Exactly.
But they're not going to go back and reshoot parts of Avengers 4.
No. The issue I have is with pushing back Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, how much does that affect the entire timeline of the MCU releases? They've had this years-long timeline of how they want to release movies, and everything's been going really swimmingly, and it keeps the pace going. Mm-hmm. We've got Captain Marvel coming out...
March.
In March, and then Avengers 4 in May. So everything, it keeps you excited. The hype is always there. Mm-hmm. There's another movie right around the corner, and it's just going to stop dead.
I think, yeah, because I don't even know what's planned for the next couple of years outside of Marvel, Infinity War. Doctor Strange 2 has been confirmed. There isn't any more Thor's coming. They're talking about maybe a Wasp movie in Black Widow. But yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know how this is going to affect the MCU as a whole now. But then again, they always were the cosmic. They were very much outside of what was happening on Earth. And I know they were talking about doing an Eternals movie, and Eternals is like somehow ties in the Thanos and Titans and all that shit. So I'm not 100% sure because I know the Inhumans TV series was crap, and they wanted to do Black Bolt and all that, but they said we'll do it on TV. fuck that up rather nicely.
There are a lot of different sources that Disney could bring into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There's an unending supply of characters and plot lines, but the MCU's story overall has felt very on purpose. Mm-hmm. Once they realized that they had something with Iron Man and Iron Man 2, they had their phase 1, they had their phase 2, phase 3, phase 4. All these are planned to tell a larger story than one movie can tell.
And I'm kind of wondering what the hell it's going to be like. Yeah,
what's next?
Yeah, like Thanos in the Infinity Gauntlet, that's a huge fucking deal. What the fuck do you do next? I mean, because they've tackled Civil War, technically. I don't know. And now that we have the Fox merger to consider, now we have X-Men storylines. Now we have Fantastic Four storylines. Cosmic with Galactus. Is Galactus the next big threat to planet Earth?
Mm-hmm. I'm concerned with the possibility of a lot of characters like Captain America moving to other actors. In the comics, Captain America has been played by more than one
person in the universe.
He was Steve Rogers, of course. He has been Bucky Barnes.
Yep.
And
John Walker.
If you translate that into movies, a lot of the draw of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and movies in general with recurring actors is the actors themselves.
Yeah.
I want to see Captain America played by Chris Evans.
Yeah.
I want to see Thor played by
Chris Hemsworth.
I don't want to see Jane Foster Thor. I mean, that would be cool, but as an average audience member, it's going to confuse me, and I'm not going to want to see it. It's going to be too much.
I think not the death knell for the MCU, but a big punch in the gut where it'll lose a lot of its momentum. You lose Robert Downey Jr., you are fucked. Yeah, you are fucked.
He is the father of the entire thing. He is the center point of everything. He's part of the reason Spider-Man was so successful. Away from the great acting talent in the Spider-Man movie, but he was the bridge that allowed Spider-Man to become successful in the MCU.
Yeah, like, you needed Robert Downey Jr.'s charisma. Like, that's the thing. The MCU, despite being fantastic movies in and of themselves, as you just pointed out, the actors, it's the charisma. That's something DC does not have. Henry Cavill is not charismatic. Ben Affleck is. Gal Gadot is. But Henry Cavill is not. Who's charismatic on MCU? Chris Evans, charismatic. Chris Hemsworth, charismatic. Robert Downey Jr. Chris Pratt.
If your name is Chris and you're in the MCU, you're charismatic.
Yeah, and you need that. All these guys have natural 18s as, like, their stat, and it draws people in. And you can't deny that. Marvel survived a major recasting with the Hulk. Edward Norton, guy's charismatic as hell. But you know what? He couldn't carry that movie. You put Mark Ruffalo in that as a side character, people give a shit about the Hulk again.
He made a tremendous Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Like, he plays the role, he plays both really, really well. Hulk is interesting, Hulk has some depth to it, and Bruce is interesting. Although, I have some issues with his character in Infinity War, little things. Mostly that he didn't do anything. But he still plays it really well. He's timid. He has that sort of fold his hands in front of him, I'm not so sure of myself, because I don't want to be a problem. And I like that. It really brings that element of his character on screen. You can see that he's awkward. You can see that he's not confident in himself because he's scared of himself at this point.
And you need that. And that's why the Marvel movies are so successful. The casting is so bang on. With Guardians 3 being held up, the cast wants James Gunn back. That's not going to happen now.
No,
Dave Bautista says he'll walk. Movies could survive without Drax. The problem is Drax is a big draw. He's funny.
Drax is probably most people's favorite character, except for maybe Groot, in the entire Guardians of the Galaxy cast, because he's comic relief, largely.
Yeah.
And he's relatable to some interesting groups of people as well. There was an article I read where there was someone who saw this movie, the first Guardians of the Galaxy, and when they learned that Drax takes everything literally, that was the first time that they had ever seen themselves played in a movie. They had never been able to relate to a character like that, because they themselves can't detect sarcasm, they can't detect metaphors. It's just something that they experience in their life, and now they have a character they can relate to. Now they feel better about themselves, and it was a great experience. So removing Drax from that removes a big part of what Guardians of the Galaxy means to people.
I mean, as much as you think Bradley Cooper, and he's a funny guy, Rocket's a funny character, but you need that banter between it. It's like Seinfeld. Each of the characters is funny, but George, Jerry, and Kramer are hilarious. But if you take away George, and it's just Kramer and Jerry, sure, it's funny, but it's not the same.
Yeah, it loses a lot of it. It's greater than the sum of its parts.
Exactly.
And having characters play off of each other makes for so many more opportunities. And you remove Drax, and you don't end up with amazing lines like, "Why is Gamora?"
Yeah, or I'm so quiet, I am invisible. Just eating a chip. I guarantee you that was
so incredibly still. Become invisible.
But yeah, I don't know. The MCU, it's not in trouble yet. This is definitely a huge speed bump. we'll wait and see what happens, I guess, after Avengers Infinity War. And my guarantee is, by Comic-Con next year, they'll have this shit figured out. Because when they have their Hall H presentation, or at some Marvel Celebration event, we will have something.
They're going to have
That's
to.
That's my guess. Yeah, there's
tremendous pressure.
Like, ultimately, Disney, should you have fired James Gunn? No, you should have stuck to your guns. But you really, really... I don't know, man. This whole outrage culture just pisses me off.
It's been a misstep for Disney, and I feel they don't want to reverse the decision because they want to show integrity in their decision making.
And I get that. Now, I really do.
Yeah, I understand why they're sticking with it, but they made a mistake by firing him in the first place.
At least they're going to use his script. And because we know the quality is going to be there, is the direction going to be there? If they get the same guy who did Thor Ragnarok?
Yeah, I think we're going to need Waititi to carry this movie. He has the ability to make the comedy work. Yeah. Ragnarok is one of my favorite MCU films because it takes it in a different way. In the same age, in the same phase of this MCU where Guardians of the Galaxy was comic relief more than it was serious story, mm-hmm. Ragnarok was the same thing. Yes, it moved the story forward. There's important parts, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And that was needed.
It's a piece of the story that shouldn't have been funny. And it was, because Ragnarok is literally the end of all things.
Yeah, it's got some really dark stuff. An entire world, one of the most important realms in all of the MCU, is destroyed. But it's hilarious the entire way
it's
through.
It's funny. And just, ugh. Anyway, guys, that's what happened in the world this week. We're going to throw things over to the weird, wacky, and as I always say, that just plain fucked up. We'll be back, guys, right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
And now it is time for the weird, the wacky, the just plain fucked up here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. In the world of strangeness, there is no short supply of stories.
Of course. And believe me, I'm excited to bring this one to you simply because I'm a huge fan of Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, adapted from the Stephen King story. And this one actually involves the hotel, the Stanley Hotel in... not sure how to pronounce this, but it's in Colorado. So this past week, a black bear opened a door to the Colorado Hotel and just walked on in. It climbed on furniture, walked around the lobby while about 300 guests were asleep in their rooms. And the front desk clerk just kind of filmed the bear. See, you know we've reached a point that shit that scares us. Shit that should scare us doesn't anymore. Like, how many selfie videos do you see people with tornadoes or car crashes?
Yeah, here's this major national disaster. Oh, hey, the volcano's erupting. I'm going to take a selfie with it.
Yeah, I'm going to watch this fucking fence melt. No, move, asshole.
It's the everyman journalism, because everyone has a phone on them now, so everyone wants to record everything. And because of that, we're getting some amazing stories happening around the world, but people are putting themselves in danger for
yeah,
this
Yeah, if stuff. I saw a fucking black bear, the first thing I'm doing is not saying, oh man, I gotta get this for Instagram. No, fuck you, I'm calling animal control going, oh shit, there's a fucking bear here.
I'm gonna try to be as calm as I can and very quietly pee myself.
Oh yeah, I'm totally shitting the bed. Not even gonna lie. But then again, I can't remember. I think a grizzly will fuck you up. A black bear will leave you alone as long as you don't fuck with its cubs.
Yeah, black bears, as far as I know, and this is not something you should be taking as advice, because if we're wrong, you're going to die. Black bears are fairly passive. Just stay out of their way. They are a bear. They will fuck you up. Grizzlies are the assholes. They'll
eat you.
They're the hornets of bear world.
I never even thought of it like that. Them and polar bears.
Yeah, polar bear. Yeah, I don't want to mess with a polar bear. They might look cute in zoos, but up close, oh man.
They will eat you.
They're terrifying.
But yeah, this video...
Any bear, it doesn't matter what kind of bear it is, if I'm in a hotel and a bear walks in, I'm booking it.
I'm fucking locking that door. I think the bear just opened a door.
They're smart. Yeah, they understand animals. a lot of human technology, I guess, basic stuff like how to get into certain things, and dumpsters are a pretty common one for a lot of bears everywhere. There's a lot of videos you can see of bears getting into trouble and getting into dumpsters and sacking themselves with a wire. That one's hilarious. You have to see that one.
There's one video I saw of a bear, and it walks into some guy's pool and just hangs out. It's like, it's a hot day, I'm just going to hang out in the pool. Or there's another bear, it's a very famous meme, sitting at a picnic table. There's like a basket of food in front of it, just eating. I thought that was hilarious.
This hotel, they need to find out if this bear is kind of regular in the area and see if they can name it Johnny.
Oh my God, that's such a good idea.
Because then they can use the, of course, here is Johnny.
And a bear walks in. That's Johnny the bear.
I'm picturing a bear busting in through a door.
Now, have you heard some of the weird haunted stories that have come out of this hotel?
Not really, besides the obvious stuff that's connected directly to the movie and the story of The Shining, but I know the place is well storied.
I think the TV show was either Ghost Adventures or Ghost Brothers. It was one of the two ghost shows from the Discovery and Travel Networks. And they go to the Stanley Hotel, and they captured some incredibly fucked up EVP. Just voices calling out names or saying, shit like that. It's creepy as all shit. Yeah,
and you have to take it with a grain of salt, of course, because it is TV, so there might be some element of making things entertaining instead of just what it is. But places like that do have a way of messing with you. And if there is something there, and it's one of the places in the world that's probably more likely to have something there because of just how much is focused there, it's creepy. It's interesting, and I'd like to go there.
Oh, absolutely. It's on my list of places I want to hit when I can do an actual road trip again because of all the ghost activity, because I still have all my ghost hunting gear from way back in the day. I want to bring out my EVP recorder. I want to bring out my microphones and all that thing. And I think I talked about this with Alex. I don't know whether we actually recorded this conversation or not, but I decided if I ever become an eccentric millionaire, I want to buy a bunch of NASA-level equipment, go to a haunted location for like 2 weeks. Good luck hiding from me, Casper, because I've got gas spectrometers. I got microphones so sensitive they can hear a mouse fart. I've got everything. I want to be fucking sure.
Yeah, just completely clamp down that entire place and just search
cameras.
And make it so there's no way that anything that happens would not be captured somehow.
Yeah, because like I watch these shows like Ghost Adventures, and you're right, some of it's got to be dressed up for TV. It's one of the things I hate on Ghost Adventures. I'm not a big fan of Zach Bagans' presentation, but when they edit the show, whenever they play back EVP or you see a light anomaly, they put this high-pitched squeal.
Yeah, it's sound design, and I appreciate that it exists and that it's able to do what it's doing, but it just exaggerates things that should just be kind of interesting.
Yeah, just show me.
Tries to make them scary, because ooh, ghosts, spooky. But this is a show that's trying to say, oh, hey, ghosts are real, here's our evidence. And by making it theatric, by using sounds to exaggerate spooky things, I think it takes away from what the message should be.
100% agree. 100%. So my next weird story, it's not so much weird as it is interesting, because I thought the Japanese would totally beat these guys to the punch first. So when you think of advanced robot mecha, you think of the Japanese, maybe the Americans.
Gundam, obviously, a word that comes to mind very quickly when you think of mech suits.
So evidently, the Russians have developed a robot from the Russian arms firm Kalashnikov.
Which you may know from the AK-47.
Yep, which they actually just debuted a new AK at this arms show they're showing off. So the Kalashnikov Concern, God, I love that name.
It's showed right off, out of like James Bond,
and every
spy thing you've ever heard of, and it pretty much literally is. It's a Russian arms company.
It sounds so fucking badass. So the Kalashnikov Concern, sorry, I had to say it again.
It's cool.
Showed off that the Army Fair 2018, the robot called Igorek, I'm not sure if I'm even pronouncing that right, It weighs 4.5 tons, is still in development. I'm actually going to show Tristan a picture of this. And
it's quite beautiful.
It looks, it's got some design similar to a BattleTech, and this is the best way I can describe it. It reminds me of a Mad Cat or the Timberwolf without particle projection cannons on either arm, but it has two claws. So maybe I guess closer to a Pat Labor or a Patrol Labor from Pat Labor, which is the anime series. But anyway, it's more, it looks like a controlled bipedal walker.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a couple other potential references out there. It looks smaller, but similar to the mech vehicle you see at the end of Avatar.
Yep.
Or Goliaths from StarCraft in some ways. Goliaths are a little bit larger, a little bit more classic, wide stands full of ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's similar in the way that it's bipedal and you sit in a cockpit in the cabin up the top.
So this thing weighs 4.5 tons, can reportedly hold and move objects, including weapons. It actually has claws on it, which are not combat capable, I'm guessing. I can't see this thing ripping through tank armor. I can only imagine how slow this thing is, but it has a bulletproof cabin. Now, looking at this thing, if I saw this thing walking across the battlefield, I'm thinking anti-material weapons would pierce right through its glass walker material. I could see this being more support than being an actual frontline battle mech.
Yeah, I don't see this being used in the front line. I see it being used as defense and control and
I see more construction.
It, yeah, it's an engineering tool as well. It has the capability to use weaponry, but these claws that are on its arms feel more like they'd be better for heavy engineering.
Yeah.
Where you can kind of get in there in places that things that are on treads and other vehicle types can't quite get into because they can't walk over obstacles.
One of the biggest problems with this, and you just pointed that out, the fact that it is on bipedal makes it more unsteady to walk.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of engineering that goes into making it more stable, but just the design by itself, I feel like there's some weaknesses and potential things that if you wanted to take one of these out, just think of Star Wars and wrap its legs up. It's not going anywhere.
Exactly. One of my favorite role-playing game universes is a universe called BattleTech, which we'll be playing in at the Cambridge Chronicles at some point next year. Surprise! but anyway, it talks about the battlefields of the future will not be bipedal walking war machines. They'll likely be tanks or treads because it's easier. It makes more sense.
It'll be adaptive treads because there are some things where you need to be able to go over obstacles. But
like
it'll be
you
things
need that traction and torque.
Yeah, it has treads so it can move easily over terrain, but then there's a gap or something and the treads wouldn't do it. The treads would be able to adapt and move in ways where it can still cross that gap in the way that a walker would be able to. Mm-hmm. But just having feet, it might not be enough. I'm not an engineer, so
I'm just picturing this thing walking through a swamp. It's going to sink right down. Stuff like that. But then again,
it's not quite the all-terrain attack vehicle or assault vehicle.
That we pictured.
All-terrain assault transport. Sorry.
AT-AT.
I had to remember that one. Pull that from my memory.
But yeah, like it's a neat idea. And the fact that it can hold weapons in its claws, big deal. Why would I not use mounted weapon hardpoints, like on its shoulders for... This will show the inner BattleTech nerd. Missiles, you could mount machine guns on its actual torso.
Well, this is a prototype, so they might not be unveiling all the potential add-ons that they have there.
They did say this thing is still in development. They're not showing things off until it's ready. My guess is this thing will never see frontline combat. You're more likely to see drones used. If we're going to have robots in war, there'll be unmanned aerial vehicles. Oh, they'll look like... Here's a throwback. So way back in the 90s. Early 2000s. Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines came out. And there's a T-1. And a T-1 was a tank-based robot that had two miniguns on its side. You see at the... when they go to Skynet, you see the robot come out, shoots Claire's father. And they're like, oh, that's a T-1. And then this little drone thing comes down like, oh, that's a mini HK. Stuff like that. You're more likely to see robots like that on the battlefield.
Yeah.
But I want to say there's... Do you... You might know this, and possibly. is there not some convention where we cannot have robotic soldiers? There's like some Geneva War Convention or something where they prevent automated soldiers? Or am I remembering some role-playing game?
I don't think there's anything specifically against unmanned combat. I don't really know the Geneva Conventions or all the rules of warfare as they are now, but I know that unmanned warfare is kind of where people want technology to go. Because if you can send 1,000 robots, there's an investment of money, but there's no loss of life on mm-hmm. your side there. So that's a strong pull to have these technologies and make them reliable and make them stronger and more lethal and all these unfortunate things that war brings. But as far as I know, there's not really anything that says you can't have robots.
I think we're more likely to get the Terminator future as opposed to Battletech out of all of this, if I had to guess. We are never going to have Gundams with beam sabers, as cool
no.
as that would be.
A lot of these things just aren't practical. It's a matter of affordability and efficiency of production, efficiency of what it's using, if it's the ammunition and the materials that go into the creation of the weapons and the chassis and everything that's involved in that there. You don't want to make things that are too complicated,
yeah.
have too many points of failure, because then they're not reliable.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sending this machine that has a million points of failure into an environment where it might not be designed to function properly, it's going to be a waste of a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
These things are not cheap.
Oh, God, no. Like, I can't picture them fielding, like, a battalion of these things, or
yeah,
even a platoon of these things.
I really feel like exosuits and mechanical devices like this, where you have these manned robotic contraptions, are better used in those support roles in building bases and construction and engineering mm-hmm. and helping you to repair things that are actually going to the front line there, just to make it easier and more efficient to do those repairs, to build those structures. Instead of bringing in cranes and large shipments of everything, you just have these mech suits that are able to carry a lot more weight
yeah.
in smaller, tighter areas, more maneuverable. It makes those jobs easier, not the actual combat itself.
You know, and this will be our final point on this, you know what makes the most sense of the construction type mechs? Aliens. The power loader. That's what this thing virtually is. Just,
yeah.
It's just more geared towards combat with bulletproof glass and all that shit. Whereas the power loader was basically, it was a walking forklift. And that's what you are talking about. Walking
forklift. Yeah, going back to StarCraft again, the SCV.
Yeah. The space construction vehicle. So... neat ideas. So that's what happened in the world of the strange and the just plain bizarre this week. So we'll be back with Satan's Pantry this week. And oh boy, we got a doozy this one. So we'll be back, guys, right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
Welcome to hell.
You wouldn't even serve it to a pig. It's inedible.
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. If you're joining us for the first time... what the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh.
We decide to take a trip down the international grocer's aisle and take a look for the weird, the strange, the fucked up, and sometimes potentially tasty. Today's item comes to us from Jennifer, one of the big fans of Twig, and our other show, Terrible Warriors, and its sister show, The Cambridge Chronicles. She sent us something rather unique in the mail, but before I go any further, I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with...
Alex, who's probably going to have to get his stomach pumped.
Legitimately scared Emperor Wayne.
Pretty sure I can taste everything I've eaten on this show at the same time when I burp. Mr. Christopher.
Oh, boy. So Jennifer went to the international market not far from her home, and she sent us a care package. Now, a little while ago, she sent us some crab chips, which were met with middling reviews, I'll say.
I like death. Them.
Death chips. These is... I'm not quite sure what they are. I think we assumed it was fried gluten.
It is, and I asked my roommate, who always imports this sort of stuff, they eat fried gluten.
Why?
Gluten apparently is a thing.
I thought gluten was a thing that Deadpool thought.
I thought it was an additive for stuff.
So did I.
Well, no, gluten is a part of...
wheat or something?
Yeah, it's like, you know, you have the fibrous parts and whatnot. It's a part. You can remove it. It's also the part it's not starch, but if you get gluten-free bread, it's usually very dry and crumbly and not...
Yeah,
it doesn't have the
fluff. Got no substance.
Yeah.
This stuff comes to us in a package with a screaming man on the front of it.
Food moisturizer.
Oh, wait. Let me see. Is it going to be hot, too?
It's yeah. supposed... It looks like it's
maybe
hot.
Oh, okay.
All right.
It's hot gluten
okay.
strips.
Do you know what
maybe?
It looks like? I was going to say it looked like bacon, but it doesn't look like bacon.
No. It looks like worms.
No, it looks like if you take a crap in your pants and you forget about it and you sit down and you let it dry and you peel it off your butt cheeks.
How does one forget about taking a crap in their pants?
Okay, so
how does one create this situation?
Funny story. Also with roommate. Roommate came out, he goes, I think I just crapped my bed. And I go, what are you talking about? Are you serious? And he goes, oh no, it was a chocolate bar I had in my back pocket.
Okay, all right.
Anyway.
Okay, so let me just describe the packaging here. It's nothing in English except for a like pasted over nutrition facts thing.
It has the minimum legal requirement for English
to be used in Canada. There's a picture of potentially an Olympic swimmer on the front, but like in definite cartoony measure because it's Asia.
He's in distress.
He's in distress, but he's definitely a swimmer because he's got like a bathing cap on and goggles and like a it's weird. It's just really weird. We're probably gonna post a picture. The actual product itself looks like, like a Twizzler, but
it looks like poop that dried out.
It was like it was made out of a human.
I don't know why. I don't know why, but to me it looks like if you took a taquito and you like rolled it super super tight, super thin. And then soaked it in, I don't know, the like
hot brine.
Meat sauce, and then just left it there for a while.
You know what? It looks like in Nightmare on Elm Street 3, where
the Freddy snake?
No, not the Freddy snake. Where Freddy did turn the kid into the mannequin?
Yeah.
When he pulled out his tendons.
Oh,
that's what it looks like.
Okay, are we doing this thing?
Yeah, we're doing it. Open it up.
All right.
I honestly don't know if I can eat a whole one.
Okay, I gotta
try
here because it might get messy.
Keep pushing on forward.
Here, I'll put it on this. What's it smell like, Lee?
Oh, no! No!
What's it smell like?
If Lee can't take the smell, we can't have any chance of taking it. He eats the disgusting things.
No.
Oh,
no.
Oh. Okay. Jennifer, am I going to be mad at you?
You have a sniff.
Okay.
What the hell is that?
Oh no! I don't know if I can do it.
Honestly, guys, I think we should have one and cut it up.
Yeah, let's do that. Oh,
no, I'm grabbing one.
Is it slimy?
No, it's a little greasy, but not slimy. No.
Like when
it doesn't feel anything like you'd expect it to from the packaging.
Okay, we're gonna take.
Is it like when a Slim Jim goes bad?
It's leaving my fingers an orange color.
Here, Lee. Let's split one.
We're gonna split one.
Okay. We're gonna split one.
I'm going full.
Wait, you gotta smell it first. You haven't
done the
scent test yet.
Okay, I'm touching the packaging.
I feel like I've smelled that before.
Oh God! Oh.
It smells like tofu.
No.
Dude.
Okay. Tofu doesn't smell like anything.
Dookie.
Tofurky.
Dude, I don't know.
As we're passing it around the room, the smell is so much more intense.
It is not sleeping in this house tonight.
Lee, you take a bite. I'll take a bite of yours. I don't care if we got to spread germs, but that... Oh, I don't
know. I don't think any germs can
live
on this
stuff. You don't want me being sick.
Oh, I can't do it.
Fuck it. Tristan, go for it. Go for it.
My body.
Okay, that's really tough. Consistency, I can't say is good. It's very hard to bite off a piece of.
I'm going to bite a nib off the top.
It's entirely spices.
Is it spicy?
I would say, heavily seasoned on the spicy end. Kind of that.
Did you take one?
I think I'm just going to die.
All right, bottoms up.
All right, the consistency is the worst
thing. Oh, it's like when calamari's gone bad.
It's extremely tough. It's almost stringy. Not
what the fuck kind of spices is this shit?
All
of
them.
What the fuck is it?
It is all of the spices.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad.
I haven't even tried this yet. I'm a little worried for my butthole.
Do you want to take the other end?
Yes, I'll take the other end.
Yeah, wait, don't bite
this
too
shit
far
has
in.
Chili, okay. Cinnamon, Szechuan pepper, cumin.
Oh, it definitely tastes Szechuan pepper.
MSG.
In copious amounts, I'm sure.
Oh, wow, that's a kick.
Turmeric.
It's not terrible.
No.
You know, okay.
But it smells worse than what it tastes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It says ready to eat. Are you sure?
Indian restaurant, like Indian cuisine. All the spices I use in Indian cuisine are in this.
The picture on it looks like that Gangnam Style when Psy is looking at that girl's butt and going, ah!
But yeah, the consistency
is
terrible.
I can't do any more than that little tiny bite I had. Lee, I will give you a quarter if you lick the inside of the bag.
I don't think I want to see him die.
The consistency is like a really, really hard gummy worm.
Yeah. That's a really good way to put it.
Resistance is just really hard.
Oh, it's so bad.
Okay, are we tossing this business?
It's weird. I almost want to go back for another.
Does anyone actually eat it?
Go back for another one.
Mike's going back for another one.
Flavor, I like the flavor.
I prefer to keep my innards intact.
If I don't smell it, it's not so bad.
Yeah, I like the flavor.
It's not so bad.
Actually, Mike, I'll give you a quarter if you stick it up your nose first.
Go to hell. You know what? Go to hell.
I wish it was like softer to chew. I wish it wasn't so difficult to actually bite down into.
It's like if somebody has squid rings that have gone rubbery.
Yeah.
You know what? It's the scent of it. It's
so bad.
The
scent is terrible.
Taste isn't horrible.
Yeah, the taste is actually kind of good.
No, the aftertaste is
phenomenal. No, it doesn't. You're nasty as fuck.
It's a comfortable heat.
I can't taste it anymore.
The smell is like somebody that like made a mess on themselves in the bus.
Oh, boy.
And then the bus broke down. There's no AC.
Alex, you're so descriptive. What would we ever do without you?
I don't know. I take a lot of public transit, man. And this... Oh.
My verdict, I want the recipe for the seasoning and then nothing else to do with this stuff.
I want a...
Fair.
It's weird.
I agree with that.
This is better than the crab chips and significantly better than the durian.
Just I think the durian set the bar.
The durian set the bar for shit. That was
the durian candy, like it was like my throat was doing a reverse toilet spin where it was like swirling back up. Oh, it's on my fingers. I can smell this stuff.
Oh, yeah, this is pretty greasy stuff. Like my fingers have changed colors and
are
now
shiny.
I can
smell it now. It's Italian sausage. It smells like Italian sausage.
I have had Italian sausage my entire life, and no, son.
Like if 1,000 Italian sausages were stuck up your nose at once.
Like, as in, like,
is
sweaty
a dream of yours
sausage?
Or?
Like, if it's, like, sweaty, gross, non-washed, homeless man penises, maybe.
On that note, this has been Satan's Pantry. I'm Birdman. This is Twig, and I'm so, so sorry.
An idiot sandwich.
Idiot sandwich what?
An idiot sandwich, Chef Graham.
Toho Scarlet Curiosity was originally released for PlayStation 4 in 2016, and has come to Steam as of July 11th, 2018. The Toho Project is a series of bullet hell shooter-style games developed by a single-person development team called Team Shanghai Alice. All of the games in the series take place in the same fictional realm of Gensokyo, a world filled with humans and yokai, which are supernatural beings. Knowing this before diving into Scarlet Curiosity would be very helpful, as the game gives little to no exposition as you begin, and throws you into what feels like the middle chapter of a larger story. You play as either Remilius Scarlet, a powerful vampire, or her devoted maid, Sakuya. Each have a unique set of abilities to dispatch the various enemies you'll encounter in the world, and you learn new abilities as you level up that you can swap around until it feels right. You pick up weapons, armor, and accessories to augment your power and fight your way through monsters that will fill up your screen with flashy attacks to be dodged in a classic bullet hell style. Visually, the game delivers well, with a rich color palette, bright and very visible attack animations from both your character and the enemies, and settings that make Gensokyo a believable world. The spell effects are particularly enjoyable, and using an ultimate ability is always a satisfying visual gourmet. The sound design is a bit of a mixture, though I'd say the good outweighs the bad. The good is the music and most of the spell sound effects. The soundtrack is well made and easy to listen to, and spell effects add some impact to the abilities they accompany. The bad is the basic attack sounds. For a basic attack you'll be spamming often, the audio quality isn't what it needs to be, and the lack of variety in sound effects takes away from the feel of combat. The game runs smoothly, with no errors or noticeable bugs. Frame rates are high and consistent, and there are no performance hits to speak of, even with a screen full of monsters. The system requirements are low, so it's accessible to most systems. I didn't take a lot of interest in the story, but that could be due to my personal unfamiliarity with the franchise's universe. Story is explained to you in an overbearing exposition by the main character speaking largely to themselves and occasionally to other characters that have little importance outside the one conversation they get to be a part of. It's not a very deep narrative, with most of its pieces involving searching for answers to an unknown problem, only to find another dead-end person, which you then proceed to beat the crap out of. Another missed opportunity is the gear and itemization system, in which your character can equip up to 3 items, a weapon, a piece of armor, and an accessory, to augment your health, damage, critical strike chance, and so on. But outside changing a few numbers, it isn't interesting or rewarding, and ends up feeling hashed together, which is exacerbated by the difficult-to-navigate item menus. It boils down to equipping the gear that gives you the biggest numbers, and there's very little in the way of choices to make, which is where gear systems truly shine. Toho Scarlet Curiosity is a game that I can't really recommend as a first installment of the Toho series, but the game does provide enough entertainment if you're looking for some simple bullet hell combat. Toho is an incredible feat for just one person to be creating, and the level of quality is impressive, surpassing that of some studios with much larger development teams. I enjoyed much of my experience, despite a number of issues, and if I had prior experience with Toho titles, I'd likely have enjoyed it more. Overall, Toho Scarlet Curiosity is a game I would recommend for fans of the bullet hell genre and existing fans of the Toho series. If you're new to Toho, maybe check out some of the previous titles first before playing through this one. Until the next review, this is Mr. Tristopher for ThisWeekInGeek.net.
And that's the kind of show it has been this week here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I've been joined with Mr. Tristopher this week, and we actually got some cool stuff coming up on the site this week. I know it's been a little slow the last few weeks. We're just trying to get all our ducks in a row. We're actually recording with a fan this week. If everything works out right, I want to say his name is Cleva. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing it right. I'm not 100% sure, but we're going to talk Power Rangers. He went to PAX East a number of years ago, and that's where I met him for the first time. Good guy. He hangs out in a lot of Power Rangers groups. He's a huge Sentai nut. So we're going to talk about Sentai this week on the show with me, him, and Alex, because we're huge Power Rangers fans.
That's Sentai, not Hentai.
Yes, but Hentai is... I'm not going to... No. No, Mike. Bad.
Don't go there.
Don't go there. But yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of cool things happening in the Power Rangers fandom. In fact, I've been meaning to do a plug for this for weeks. Please, for the love of Christ and all that is holy, if you love Power Rangers, read the Boom Studios comics right now. They're doing this event called Shattered Grid comes to an end this week. Power Rangers Ninja Steel is doing their team-up episode this week for the 25th anniversary. They have Tommy's back, Catherine from Turbo and Zeo is back, Coda from Dino Charge, Wes from Time Force, Gemma from RPM, Gia from Super Mega Force. It's going to be amazing. It's on Nickelodeon at 8 p.m. on Tuesday. Please watch this. Please read this comic book series. There's actually 2 comic book series. There's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, which is, like I said, amazing. You know, all you need to know is the first season of Power Rangers and everything else, it goes off the rails. Like, Tommy dies, and he's going to probably stay dead for quite some time. There's an evil Tommy called Lord Draken, and he's collecting morphers from all across the morphing grid. So he has, like, Dino Charge powers, Super Mega Force powers, Samurai, In Space, all this crazy shit. It's so fucking good. And this is the thing. The main reason I'm hyping this up is there's event comics like DC and Marvel. There was the Infinity Gauntlet, stuff like that. This feels like the Infinity Gauntlet, except there are no filler issues. Everything that happens means something. The writers, Kyle Higgins and Ryan, I can't pronounce his name, Perot, I don't know. He writes Go Power Rangers, which happens before Tommy shows up, like a year or two before. It's incredibly well written, and some of the artwork in these books is phenomenal. I'm heavily considering getting a Lord Draken tattoo. That is how much I love Power Rangers now, because of these comic books. So, it's not often I get hyped and this excited about something. I mean, when was the last time you saw me excited about anything outside of, like, D&D?
It's pretty rare to see you at the max level of hype for something.
Yeah, like really, like, I've been telling Alex for months, borrow my iPad, read this shit, you will love it. So anyway, the series comes to a conclusion. This new comic book day, 25th anniversary, 8 o'clock, Nickelodeon. You should have some stuff up on YouTube. And
I'm working away. Working away on the YouTube channel, of course. Check it out at youtube.com/user/MrTristopher. They really got to make that easier, but that's out of my hands. World of Warcraft is the main focus, but I'm always looking for more ideas. So if you have anything you want me to talk about in my wonderfully buttery smooth voice, let me know. Feedback at thisweekingeek.net or check me out on Twitter at MrTristopher.
Coming up on the site this week, like I said, we'll have that Power Rangers talk episode where we can just talk all things Power Rangers. I'm hoping to record a bot's role this week. I've actually had quite the discussion on my Facebook this week. Spoony posted a video a number of years ago called 3D6 in Order. And I know you're a fan of the random roles.
Basically,
I think we're of the same mindset where you're more than a collection of stats. You're more than math. You are a person, and it's how you portray that.
Yeah, I want my dice to decide what those stats are to force me to play with those stats in as creative a way as I can.
Yeah.
It makes me think more about how that character would act in that situation. It makes me make decisions that I might not make in my real state of mind. If I have low intelligence, it doesn't mean I'm stupid. It just means I might not kind of understand some things. Yeah. I'm just going to take a more basic approach to things. I don't want to min-max everything because it's boring. You don't play D&D and other tabletop RPGs with the point of winning. You don't beat them.
Yeah.
You play them and you play to lift.
Don't. Yeah, you experience a story as opposed to, I mean, if you want a hack and slash, may I suggest, oh, I don't know, Devil May Cry or something like that. If you want to beat the crap out of something, I can give that to you. But I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you something interesting. And I think a lot of that just gets lost these days. So hopefully I'll be talking about that on Bot's Role at some point this week. I'm actually probably going to talk about how to be a better DM, how to be a better storyteller, dungeon master, things you can do to help out your players. But I may not go that topic. I may talk about how to be a better host. And what I mean by that, well, sometimes having a cup can bring a tremendous feel to the table. Because, for example, then I'm going to exit the show, I promise. On Cambridge Chronicles, we had pirate cups and glasses for the first couple sessions we were playing. And I think that helped the ambiance.
Yeah.
We had food that was authentic to the time period. Meats, cheeses, and nuts.
Having an atmosphere that goes beyond the storytelling in words and on paper really helps you get into those characters and get into the environment.
Yeah, so
it's little things, subtle things you can do to improve the overall experience.
So that'll be some of the things we'll be talking about on Bot's Role later on this week. So until next time, my friends, don't stay thirsty. Go have a G Fuel. That's what I'm going to do. So until next time, we have been
Mr. Tristopher.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodds, and live for your Die Hard. We'll catch you guys again next time, right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
Well, kids, that's enough for one night, eh?
You know, I don't think this show is suitable for children.
I don't think this show is suitable for anybody.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear something like this.
Insert a clip here, you dick.
Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content. And subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at thisweekingeek. And check out our Instagram at @twig_official_podcast. If you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
We now join America's most popular show already in progress. Everybody loves Hypnotoad.